Jerry Brown has served in the California State House longer than any other governor. He once had ambitions for higher office. He ran for president in 1976, 1980, and in 1992, when he had this memorable exchange with a fellow governor, a young man named Bill Clinton.
He is funneling money to his wife's law firm for state business. That's number one.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself for jumping on my wife. You're not worth being on the same platform as
I'll tell
as
you
my
something,
wife.
Mr. Clinton.
Now,
don't try to escape it. Ralph Nader called me this afternoon. He read me the article from the Washington Post.
Does that make it
I
true?
Was shocked by it.
When he ran for president in the 1980 campaign, Jerry Brown gave us all memories like this one. How his then-girlfriend Linda Ronstadt raked in the campaign cash at a Las Vegas benefit concert.
He went out to run for president for the last couple of months, and hadn't been for the fact that I got to see him on TV every night. I forgot what he looked like. But he came back yesterday. He's going to make it all better now. So he told me anyway. My boyfriend's back, and you're going to be in trouble.
Memories, though, are not votes, and through the years, Brown's political successes have all been in California, which has always been more concerned about the environment and nuclear attack down through the years.
We've made a Faustian bargain with ourselves to keep the gas guzzlers moving down the freeways, importing 45% of our oil.
Jerry Brown's biggest issue today, besides the environment and the drought emergency, is the immigration crisis. And he says the federal government is letting his state twist in the Santa Ana wind.
If you see immigrants who are farm workers living in cardboard boxes or out of their cars in various parts of Southern California, you wouldn't want to use the word best for that situation. There are a lot of hardships on the part of hundreds of thousands of people who've made the trek across the border. Across this country, there's been such a shortage in workers, particularly in construction projects, that many projects have had to shut down or delay. So there is a desperate need for workers, and workers have responded. Now, how are things in California? I'd say we're being humane. We're not going around arresting mothers when they go to the grocery store for their families that have been living here 10 years. We're trying to balance things off. And if somebody is working, as a million immigrants are in California, without a driver's license, we've now provided a path forward. And I think almost 300,000 licenses have been issued to undocumented people. So we're trying to make the best of this situation. But if you look at immigration across the border in America, and then you look over to Europe and the people by the thousands who are dying crossing the Mediterranean and the riots in Germany and Poland and problems in Italy. This is a global problem. It'll probably get worse. And I would say, by and large, California has a balanced, thoughtful program that is dealing with this in the utter abdication on the part of Congress, particularly the Republican majority that has adopted a see no evil, hear no evil, do nothing. And so we can't wait around. We got human beings. They have families. We got to do something. It is not trouble-free, but as you look over the scene across the world, I'd say California is a shining example.
Is there a security problem for immigrations and citizens in the state of California, and does the Catherine Steinle case give Donald Trump an argument for sending them all back, all 11 million undocumented workers in the United States?
Well, I don't think Donald Trump needs to be given an argument. He's quite articulate on his own. Actually, I would say if you give him a thread, he can weave a rug. So, no, he has plenty to argue about. And the fact is, in California, as well across America, you have homicides, and the vast majority are by good old-fashioned American citizens. But there are some that are undocumented. And I would say it's always a tragedy when someone is killed, and we're doing everything we can to keep the lowest murder rate the nation has ever seen, probably in the last 30 years. So lots to be done, but perfection is only for the next life.
You went from the seminary to UC Berkeley. What was it like to spend time with the Pope, someone who had also a very interesting trajectory in his education?
I thought you were going to ask me what it's like to go from the seminary to Berkeley, and that's a whole interesting story, but I will take the
second. Seems like you and the Pope have something in common, though, about, you know.
Well, no, because the Pope didn't go to Berkeley in 1960.
That's true.
Which was the beginning of lots of turmoil. Anyway, it was great being in the Vatican, listening to the Pope, meeting the mayors from around the world, dealing with climate change in a very forthright and serious way. I found the Pope articulate, very authentic and human, persuasive, speaking without notes. He's a real leader, and on this topic, both of climate change and the vulnerable people that are facing the ravages of forced immigration and trafficking and all these other things we read about, he is really an inspiration.
But he did go from seminary to the political hotbed of Argentina, just as you went from the seminary to
Yeah, but he went in a cassock. I did.
That's true.
I went to Berkeley and lived at the International House and encountered girls and all the other vices that were on offer in the 1960s.
You're very forthright.
I said I encountered them. I didn't necessarily say I took advantage of them.
That's right. That's right. What do you think would be most fun, going duck hunting with the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court or going to a soccer game with the Pope? You've done one. How about the other?
Well, instead of going to a soccer game, I'd rather have a theological and philosophical discussion with the Pope and talk to him about the Jesuit order and about the secular world we're living in and how we might deal with some of these very intractable problems like climate change, mass migration all over the planet, and the persistent threat of nuclear annihilation as represented by the doomsday clock that is now 3 minutes to midnight, which the atomic scientists keep track of.
Finally, then, is that what you talked about with Earl Warren when you went duck hunting with him as a young man about civil rights and the problems of America?
You know, the truth, I went duck hunting with Earl Warren probably around 1962, maybe 63. The only thing I can remember, besides seeing the ducks flying overhead and then seeing the dogs go out and grab them and how pretty they look flying and seeing them dead there, all bundled up and actually holding on to some, was the crab soup that we had. It had a kind of a Roquefort taste to it, and it was extremely tasty, and I've never had it since. Plus, being around Earl Warren is a pleasure. He's a man of incredible dignity, and I don't think I've ever seen a politician quite like him, ever.
Governor Jerry Brown, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
Jerry Brown is the Democratic governor of California. You can hear more of my conversation with Governor Brown on the Takeaway Weekender podcast or at thetakeaway.org.